are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morency. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Now, anybody that was tuning into the program yesterday knows we experienced some technical difficulties, a power surge. We were thunderstruck. We were thunderstruck yesterday, and I actually turned blue, literally and figuratively. Mark Lawrence looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger's Iceman or a cast member of The Walking Dead. He was like Iceman. I look like a member of the Blue Man group or some dude named Yondu or something like that. But I don't know who the hell Yondu is. He's some blue dude from some movie. Nevertheless, I know who Jason Braddock is. Jason Braddock's one of the best best football analyst out there, one of the best draft guys, but he's also a talk show host in Houston, one of the best sports cities. Ton of stuff going on in the Houston scene right now. Of course, Houston Rockets on the board tonight, must-win situation. Houston Astros, only Major League Baseball team with 23 wins on the board in action, a four-game set against the Bronx Bombers and the New York Yankees. We have some Houston Texans news as far as the quarterback situation is concerned. Jason Braddock will join us, and we're going to run the gauntlet. Ton of stuff to get to with Braddock. The Tony Cincotta. Tony Cincotta is going to join us. And Tony are cut from the same jib, although I sound nothing like Tony Cincotta. God bless Tony Cincotta. We're cut from the same jib because I think Tony's on like 24 hours a day. The guy's doing a morning show. We're doing Red Heat and Rage Radio the other nights, late night radio, Fantasy Sports Network, radio networks. Tony Cincotta's doing the updates. Tony's a hardworking man, and he joins us this afternoon as well. We'll run the gauntlet with Tony. We'll talk some fantasy. We'll talk some football. We'll talk some baseball. We'll crack some jokes and everything else in between. So we've spent a lot of time talking about Colin Kaepernick over the last year and a half or so. And out of the hundreds of takes that we've had, or I should say thousands of takes, but we've been doing the Rage of the Day videos, you know, I guess for over a year now or so. So let's say 500 videos, 500 takes, so to speak. Nothing is more polarizing than Colin Kaepernick. Now, generally, when you talk about race or politics, it's going to be polarizing and you're going to offend half the people tuning in. But when it came to Colin Kaepernick, it was pretty hostile. It was vitriol. And, you know, I stand by Colin Kaepernick's right to protest. And I still do. And I like Colin Kaepernick. I like him as a person. I like what he brings to the table. I like his socialism, that he's bringing. That's the wrong way of putting it, socialism. I'm not down with socialism. I like his social battle, so to speak. Sending money, you know, giving money to Somalia, the Meals on Wheels. You know, he's done a lot of nice charitable type of things. I think he's a good guy, and I think his heart's in the right place. I defended him. I thought that the media was out of control. I said that the NFL GMs, were insane to compare him to Ray Carruth as far as how much they hated him. But right now, with every quarterback that signs in a National Football League, we hear the cries that Colin Kaepernick is being blackballed. And the latest signing is Blaine Gabbert. So Blaine Gabbert signs with the Arizona Cardinals. People are crying, oh, Colin Kaepernick. I'm Colin Kaepernick didn't sign with the Arizona Cardinals. When, as I've stated, I'm a Kaepernick defender. But I'm going to tell you right now, Colin Kaepernick is not blackballed from the National Football League. Tony Romo's in a damn broadcast booth right now. All right? And, oh, don't tell me, oh, Tony Romo's old. Tony Romo's old. You know, a couple of months ago, we were debating whether Tony Romo should be playing for the Dallas Cowboys or not. All right? Tony Romo can still play in the National Football League. Nobody wanted him. Nobody said, yeah, you know what? We're going to put our faith in Tony Romo. Jay Cutler. Nobody wanted Jay Cutler. Both Tony Romo and Jay Cutler are a less of a distraction than what Colin Kaepernick brings to the table. Is RG3 blackballed? Is Ryan Fitzpatrick blackballed? There's a lot of legitimate quarterbacks who have won games, some of them playoff games, in the National Football League, don't have jobs. All right? It's not like Colin Kaepernick's the only quarterback that's not signed right now. It's still early. we tell people, chill out. The fact of the matter is, you know, people are going to say, you know, you look at the National Football League, that, you know, the National Football League is a racist league, that they're hypocritical, that they allow people to beat up women and shove guns down people's throats to play in the league, but they're not going to allow a dude who didn't stand for the national anthem to play in the league. I'm not really buying that. Michael Sam isn't not in the National Football League right now because he's a gay man. All right, Michael Sam's not in the National Football League right now because he's not an NFL player. He's not good enough to be in the NFL. He wasn't good enough to be in the CFL. He just wasn't. He was a good college player. It didn't translate. He was more distracted by being a star and a celebrity, and it caught up to him. If Michael Sam was as good as Ray Lewis, he would have been in the National Football League. Tim Tebow. Is Tim Tebow blackballed? Kind of, sort of. Tim Tebow is the most polar opposite of Colin Kaepernick as can possibly be. You know, what's wrong with Tim Tebow? Tim Tebow was not liked by NFL coaches and teams that he was on. You know, they liked him as a person, but they didn't like the distraction that he brought to the table. They're all about distractions. They're not about moral high ground. Don't buy in. They're about patriotism. If the National Football League teams cared about patriotism, they wouldn't charge the Pentagon $600K every time they roll out troops and a giant flag on the field, all right? So let's not pretend about the patriotism here. Let's just be more real. And I know it's hard for people in the media to be real, and I know it's hard for people that aren't in the media sometimes not to just have a black and white, blue and red, good and bad argument when it comes to everything. I defend Kaepernick's right to protest. But I also defend NFL teams' rights to say, you know what, we don't want this dude that we think hates America. E.J. Manuel just signed for less than $1 million. Blaine Gabbert beat out Kaepernick for the job in San Francisco. He took $1 million. Kaepernick wants $10 million a year. Listen, Colin Kaepernick, you know, doing some good things, giving his suits out right now to the parolees and stuff like that. That's all good. You know, and it shows you your humanitarian side. That's the word I should have used instead of socialism earlier. No socialism. Humanitarian. But Colin Kaepernick, great humanitarian side. But you know what, dude? You're not running to be the head of the Red Cross. You're not in a campaign to be the head of the Salvation Army, Cap. You know, so you giving out suits and stuff, you look like a nice guy. But as far as NFL GMs are concerned, they'd rather see you working out. If I'm Colin Kaepernick, I have a sort of job fair. I have an open invitation for a weekend, sort of like an open house. Come on down. I'm working out. I'll throw some footballs. We'll sort of talk, get to know me a little bit, and you'll understand that I don't hate America, etc. You know, play the freaking game, dude, just like politics. Tell the GMs what they want to hear, and you'll get signed. It's very similar to the Donald Trump, Russia. Media gets freaking hysterical all the time instead of looking at the facts, all right? Colin Kaepernick, not blackballed right now. He's a freaking distraction. And as soon as he lets NFL teams know that he's not a distraction and he'll play for less than $10 million a year, then Colin Kaepernick will have a job. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, and I tell you what, it's been too freaking long since this man has joined us on Game Time Decisions. As I stated, you know, the other night, we heard Tony doing the updates on Red Heat and Rage Radio. Tony's working around the clock, but he's got a lot of time on his hands. Tony's one of those fans that's banned from Fenway. Not for racist stuff, though. Tony's not racist. He flashed himself. He exposed himself to the bullpen. And,
you know what's so Cincata, funny about
that? You're on the list. Yeah. You're barred, Cincata.
Yeah, fine. You know what's funny about that? I was watching the Marlins game the other night, right? And this woman took her top off to Christian Yelich, right? And everybody wants equal rights, right? Equal rights. If I go to the game and I drop my pants for Christian Yelich, I'm going to jail.
That's a great point. Can you imagine if you just, like, drop your pants, drop your junk, like... like, right behind home plate in that seat type of deal. Like you said, dude, you're in jail for 6 months. You're under psychic evaluation. Yeah, like Cardano's calling you. What the hell's wrong with you, Sin Cara?
Yeah, we want equal rights. Not until we can whip our chunk out at a Marlins game do we get equal rights.
Yeah, where do you stand on Marlins, man? You know, everyone hates this dude. I don't hate this guy. I don't, you know, there's worse people than this guy that goes to big sporting events. Like, I don't know why they get so pissed off. Oh, there's Marlins, man. He's not even, you know, he's at a Cubs game. What's he doing there?
He's living the dream, man. Everybody should have dreams and everybody have goals. And if they're not as high as this guy, work harder and get better goals.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So all kidding aside, Tony, I heard we're doing Red Heat and Rage Radio. I want to get you on with me and Cam. Cam's in Vegas. Dropped an F-bomb last night. Yeah, great, great stuff.
Oh.
Great. Thanks, Cam. But, yeah, we heard you doing the updates, man. They're working you as hard as me. Huh? You're on around the clock. Morning shows, late-night updates, afternoon hits.
Yeah. Cardano called me today. He goes, what's your availability from midnight to 6 a.m.? You never know what will happen around here.
All right, so one thing that we do know that's going to happen, the home teams win every time the Wizards and the Celtics play. 9-0 now on the year, Tony. Obviously, in the series, we're up to 5-0 right now, but 9-0 on the year. Except it wasn't Isaiah Thomas last night that stole the show. It was Avery Bradley and Al Horford. And Al Horford was sort of criticized through the year. He's not doing what we thought he was going to do. But here's Horford, 19-7-6. Bradley steps up big time for them. But Horford doesn't come cheap when we talk about DFS anymore.
No, he doesn't. And I got to be honest, Horford's play has been disappointing. The Celtics brought him in because of a lack of rebounding, and they're still one of the worst rebounding teams in the league.
Yep.
They match up okay against Washington because Gortat's not that great. And the whole season has got to him. They used him too many minutes there. I think the Celtics are going to be all right in this game. I think it's going to go seven games, and it come down in the seventh game any day. But I'll tell you the truth. The only team that could even stay on the court with the Cavaliers is not the Celtics. It is the Wizards. I thought that from the start. I think they got a couple of shooters there. Yeah, Bogdanovich, Porter. If they get hot from three-point land and Bradley Beal, they could take down the Cavaliers. I don't think the Celtics have any shot.
I agree. You know, you look at the Wizards, they have defaults. But they are a good track meet, run-and-gun team.
Yep.
And a lot of teams, like you look at the Raptors. The Raptors sort of tried to slow it down, then sort of tried to run. They didn't really have a plan. I think the Wizards would go in and just say, you know what, all right, they want to score, let's do it. Let's go head-to-head here and get into a track meet. And you're right, you look at the Bulls, Tony. The Bulls were up 2-0 on the Celtics. They were killing them on the boards, man. Killing them. And Rondo gets hurt and everything changed. Robin Lopez was lighting him up in the paint.
Yeah.
And the Cavaliers are vulnerable inside, too, and the Raptors didn't take advantage of it. So it's sort of all these NBA teams, they're all so flawed they can't take advantage of their other team's weaknesses.
No, it's a crazy situation. I think that what's going to turn around, Isaiah Thomas, you saw, he didn't go out and put up a big game. I think John Wall, from the fantasy perspective, in game six is the guy to go after. Leave Thomas out. They switch course. They switch course there. I think John Wall comes up big in game six.
I don't like it, Tony. I liked earlier in the playoffs where we had at least two games, three games.
Oh, four, yeah.
You know, like the one game, a day, it's a piss off. You know, you want action on one day. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I stopped once the playoffs came and just put in, they had a couple free tournaments and I put lineups in there. Because it's so much work when you're doing baseball, football, and hell, I listen to your show. You got Aussie football going on there. That
we're
you're
winning.
Away.
Yeah, we're winning.
Who's
too.
Who's better than you? Yeah, that guy, the Aussie guy's amazing.
Yeah, we're providing winners. Like I said, I don't care. I don't care if I win money, Tony, on the West Coast Eagles or the Philadelphia Eagles. Just pay me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, whatever. They're all the same. They're the same names: Tigers, Eagles, Demons. Like it's all the same crap. All right. Spurs and Rockets. I tell you. Everyone, I don't know why the Rockets are 7.5-point favorites, 7 7-point favorites in this basketball game. Kawhi Leonard looks like he's going to suck it up and try to give it a go. But as far as, you know, DFS is concerned, you know, Ginobili, $3,300, turned back the clock the other night, 30 DK points. Aldridge delivered for $6,900, 18-14. Mills, $5,300, but there's no upside with Mills, but $3,300. I don't see why you don't go back to Ginobili again if you guys are playing tonight.
Yeah, he only needs 15 fantasy points for that to pay off, and I don't see how he doesn't get it. And especially with the Kawhi Leonard situation, he's going to play, he's going to gut it out. But if he isn't able to go, Ginobili's going to get more of the ball in his opportunity there, and 15 points should be done by halftime. You guys should be all set there. So he absolutely comes into play. LaMarcus Aldridge is the biggest enigma in the NBA. One game he puts up 21 points, 12 rebounds. In the next game, you know what, he plays 22 minutes. He doesn't even look like he's out of the court. Paul Gasol takes over, and it's tough. I'm shocked by how this goes. I thought the Houston Rockets would take these guys out. I counted the San Antonio Spurs out. I thought they were just basically living on the coach through the regular season. They are doing a great job. And, of course, if you're a team that shoots as many 3-pointers like the Houston Rockets, you live in and die by the 3-pointers in a jump shot, and sometimes it comes back to haunt you.
To quote the great late Dennis Green, we let him off the hook. They let him off the hook. Yeah, you got Kawhi Leonard. You got Kawhi Leonard on the bench. You have them on the ropes in a 2-2 series on the road. You need to win that game. They had an opportunity to win the game. Harden, listen, Harden's a classic case, Tony, to me, isn't it, in which fantasy and reality do not mesh. Hey, fantasy, great, yeah, 33, 11, and 11. He had 66 DK points. Yeah, great. He also turned the ball over 3 times in overtime. He turned the ball over 9 times collectively in a freaking game. His shot selection was pathetic and putrid, and he essentially cost them the game late.
But that's the bottom line, where people can talk about Russell Westbrook, they can talk about Harden, and they're great, and the numbers that Westbrook put up haven't been done. But if you look at the true MVP of this league, there's no doubt it's Kawhi Leonard. Imagine that Spurs team without him, and a guy that plays at both ends of the floor. He'll play the toughest defensive on the team. He'll take their best player, play them one-on-one, and then he'll take the ball on the offensive end. There's no doubt about it. If we had NBA general managers all in the room and they had a win 1 year, Kawhi Leonard, other than LeBron James, would be the guy that he'd be the number 2 pick.
I agree with you. I think, you know, he's the most versatile player in the NBA. And you're right. We have to give LeBron that, because LeBron's big strength is his versatility, that he can do anything out there, right? You know, I mean, LeBron could do like what Magic did and play center. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
that time. Like, what do you've been around, Tony. And I'm one of the old school guys, and I never liked a couple of years ago the Jordan and James debate. I was like, you guys are crazy, man. The kid's he's won once, he's won twice. Not the king, you know, best player of our generation. But time goes on, and I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan. I you know, to me, LeBron's closer to Magic Johnson, and Kobe's more Jordan. The player comparison's not the same. But even now, Tony, we got to accept LeBron James, one of the greatest players of all time. The guy's freaking dominant, man.
Well, you know, and I had this debate, like, with the whole Buffalo Bills. One field goal, right? One field goal goes through the thing, and all of a sudden they're a different team. LeBron James, he hasn't won as many championships as Michael Jordan, but he's been there 6 consecutive years with, in Cleveland, inferior talent. I think he's really stepped up his game since going back to Cleveland. I don't think he would have been this good if he stayed in Miami.
Yeah, and when Jordan went to Washington, he didn't take the Wizards to the finals. And I know he's a little older, but you know what I'm saying? You know, LeBron's been bouncing around and just winning.
it's crazy. In a couple of those teams that he played in the finals with, he was the only healthy guy left out of the superstars. And people forget about that. And he almost willed himself to a victory.
I know. And another thing is, too, Tony, everyone, you know, they say, Scottie Pippen this, Scottie Pippen that. And it's like, I remember you guys at the time. You know, because I hear people talking about how, like, today's players are all soft, they all suck, and yesteryear's great and the best. You know, Tony, you and I are the same age. We remember. I remember the time people said Scottie Pippen was soft. Oh, he's got migraines, he's soft, he sucks. Michael Jordan's carrying him. And then I hear people, I'd like to see Russell Westbrook against the old school Knicks. What, the same Knicks that you guys tried to run Patrick Ewing out of town for being old and slow? And people are like, I swear, we have this revisionist history. And people are like, oh, the Knicks would put the Warriors on their ass. And I was a Knicks fan. Those Knicks teams struggled to score 84 points, Tony.
You got John Starks gunning 32 times a game.
Yeah, who do you want, John Starks or Curry? Yeah, who do you want, like... It's amazing, though, isn't it? Revisionist history, Tony. Everyone's great from 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Yeah, everyone except Pee Wee Herman. It went downhill.
Yeah, Pee Wee's banned from Fenway, too. right? So football fever, a lot of football talk as of late. You know, I brought up the Garoppolo stuff. I swear some of these mainstream jackasses are stealing my work, Tony. I did a thing. I did a thing like a couple of nights ago about what are the Patriots up to with Garoppolo here, in a sense that the fact that they didn't trade him really leads me to believe that they think this guy, you know, they don't know about Brady. It sounds pretty crazy. Like, they're committed to Brady, but I think in the back of their mind, they're like, we really don't know. Brady could get hurt. He could age overnight. We don't want to let Garoppolo go because the dude's a freaking free agent. So, what, you're going to franchise tag this guy and pay him $24 million? Like, what the hell? It's very unpatriot-like, isn't it, Tony?
Well, here's the thing. It's very interesting. I've been saying this a long time. Tom Brady's dad 2 years ago said in a story that Tom Brady will not finish his career with the New England Patriots.
Yep.
He says that, hey, the New England Patriots have always got rid of players a year before or 2 years before, and they won't make an exception
for
him.
Tom wants to play till he's 45. You're right. He says that, you know, they'll make the business decision. Tom will accept it and play somewhere else.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this seems like the craziest story ever. The Patriots are involved in crazy stories all the time. Don't rule out Jimmy Garoppolo being a 2018 quarterback of the New England Patriots.
It's just so weird. It's like, you know, I'd be thinking, like, even if I'm Brady right now, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, what are they doing here? What, are we going to pay this kid big money to be my backup? Like, this is weird. And especially considering, I don't know for a fact, I'm not in the room, but, you know, the Patriots floated it out there to Cleveland. Give us the first overall pick, we'll give you Garoppolo. Cleveland, even Cleveland aren't that dumb. So, you know, if it was the Bears, maybe. But, you know, but supposedly Cleveland pitched the 12th pick. They said, listen, we'll give you the 12th pick, give us Garoppolo. And the Patriots said no. So they really, really have an end game with him.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. I was of the opinion that Rob Gronkowski wouldn't be back with his team this year. I thought with all the back injuries, they would cut bait with him and you'd see him go. But it looks like winning the Super Bowl, they're keeping everybody together. They're going to go at it one more time with something like them. But it wouldn't shock me that they're looking at this team getting a little older. They put it all together this year. They go out and get cooked. They had a young, dynamic wide receiver that they try to regroup this team. And it seems crazy. It seems insane. But it wouldn't shock me if someday Jimmy Garoppolo is the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots.
All right, we'll close on this. Do you believe that Belichick and Brady, because I know what Tom Brady Sr. talked about, you know, he's going to play till he's 45. The Patriots just don't do that. They're going to, you know, they'll move on for business purposes at some point. But with that being stated, does Brady and Belichick, do they retire at the same time? Like, or does Brady, does Brady play forever? You think they play, they go separate ways eventually, you think?
There's two of them. They're both big ego guys. They're tied to each other now. Both of them want to see what they could do without the other and let their legacy take that place. Because everybody thinks they're the guy. You have an ego. And I'm going to, if you didn't have Tom Brady, you didn't have this. Yeah, hey, I won 11 games with Matt Castle. Now I'm going to do it with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, the future, it's going to be very interesting. Tony Cincotta, the Tony Cincotta. Thanks for joining us, Tony.
Hey, take care.
There's the Tony Cincotta with us on Twitter. I like that he's got the put in front of it. I'm sure Tony has the same request that Steve Harvey has. I sent that memo out to everybody here at the Fantasy Sports Network as well. People are ripping on Steve Harvey for being, you know, he's a diva and all this. Listen, I've been around. I used to be in the music business. You know, David Bowie played a show, and they told all of us they were there, like, don't look at him in the eye. You know, you can't look at him. That's a common thing with these dumbass celebrities and stuff. And Steve Harvey, it wasn't like, oh, no eye contact and none of this. It was basically, stop bothering me. And can you imagine all day people knocking on Harvey's door? Can I get a picture for my cousin? Can I get a picture for my aunt? What do you think about this skit? You know, eventually, you know, I stand with Harvey on this. Hashtag stand with Harvey. Jason Braddock joins us next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, and we're kicking it old school on the program today. We had Tony Cincotta on. Now we welcome Jason Braddock to the fold. And Jason, regular contributor to the Fantasy Sports Network, one of the best football analyst out there, but also, of course, a talk show host in Houston. Doesn't just cover football. And right now, of course, everyone's following the Houston Rockets, the Houston Astros, the only team in baseball with 23 wins. Dallas Keuchel looking like his Cy Young self once again. And we got some Houston Texans news as well today with Braddock. Jason, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Oh, man, it's always fun, doing well. And like you said, Houston's I wouldn't call it the center of the sports universe, but they're trying to get there.
No, they're trying, and they're doing a good job by getting there. So first off, I've been to Houston. I was there for the Super Bowl, not this one, but the Nipplegate, the 2002 game. So I was there for about 10 days, too. So I spent some time in Houston, big fan of the city. Great sports city. Rockets, Astros, Texans. Of course, Houston Oilers in the old days. But Houston Arrows, we're a long-standing, staple in Houston. Of course, in the old WHA days and then after in various leagues, East Coast Hockey League, et cetera. I've always thought that the NHL, you look at the NHL, they force markets into Phoenix. You know, they're going into Vegas right now. I've always believed that Houston would be a legitimate NHL market. Do people talk about hockey at all in Houston?
Not really, but I mean, like you said, if they were bringing a big market team here, you're talking about one of the most diverse cities in the United States. So people from all type of backgrounds. So Houston gets stereotyped as what they were in the 70s, 80s, cowboy town. Everybody's walking around in boots, wearing horses and cowboy hats. But as you know, it's nothing like that. It's one of the most diverse cities. So I'm sure there would be a market for it. And
if hockey works in Dallas, why wouldn't it work in Houston, right?
Exactly. That's my point as well.
All right. So the Houston Rockets in a must-win situation tonight. And I think that, and I've said this a lot of times about Harden, Harden's like dating a hot chick. A hot chick who is always late and has a ton of baggage, but she's really hot. And you sort of live with it. And you can't criticize Harden because he's so explosive and he brings so much to the table for the Houston Rockets. But at the same point in time, his recklessness late in basketball games cost them. And this has been the knock on him for years, that late in basketball games, he's reckless. He forces shots up early in the shot clock, the 3 turnovers in overtime, the 9 turnovers in the game, the turnovers near the end of regulation, just the carelessness, man, late in basketball games. I wonder, and I thought that maybe the Rockets had turned the corner and they eliminated a lot of these bad habits and they were much more responsible this year, Jason, but man, old habits die hard, and to me, they really let the Spurs off the hook the other night.
Yeah, they did, and I can't really disagree with your Harden comments. That's basically what he's shown to be. He's one of the best NBA players that there is, but there's times where, like the other night, where he vanishes at key moments. The Nene injury was a lot bigger than what I think nationally is getting the exposure because you have to change your identity of your team.
They have a 7-man rotation now only.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got the 7-man rotation. You've got Ryan Anderson and James Harden at times in that game down there on the blocks against LaMarcus Aldridge. And I'm surprised the San Antonio Spurs didn't turn this more into their type of game with the bigs down low. But that being said, and all the fault that you could put on James Harden, I think one of the things that's being overlooked is Eric Gordon and Sweet Lou, their shot turned sour in that game. If I'm not mistaken, I think they were 1-for-11 from 3-point. And the Rockets, they live by the sword and die by the sword with those 3-pointers. When you got your 2 scoring guards and Eric Gordon, who was starting over Beverly because of the change in the rotation without the bigs, he disappeared throughout that game. Lou Williams disappeared throughout that game. So there were some other things. James Harden will draw the heat because it was at the key moments. But throughout that game, the Houston Rockets – dominated, and they should have won that game by 10 to 15 points if their other cornerstone pieces to the team would have shown up. I expect them to, you know, be back at home tonight. I expect them to win this game by 10 to 15 points and then have to go back to Game 7 in San Antonio and try to steal another one on their floor where, you know, Spurs are so dominant at home and have been for decades.
It'll be interesting to see what happens tonight. I think I got to bet on the Spurs. As a betting man, I got to go with the pedigree. And it's funny, our boy Camera 2, Drew, and you met Drew. He's like, you know, you're crazy, Gabe, but Danny Green can't do that again. Pretty good impression of him. Danny Green can't do that again. And I'm like, yeah, why can't he? And I'm like, yeah, that's what these guys do. That's what the Spurs do. They dig down deep, and they find a way to get it done. But, you know, the Rockets, and it's a great point that you raised as far as Lou Williams. He's been so good, but he sort of disappeared. I was complaining during the game late. I'm like, dudes, you guys got to figure it out and stop letting Harden handle the ball. I don't mind Harden taking the shot late in a basketball game, but I don't want him, like, having the ball for the whole shot clock. He's either going to shoot early, something bad's going to happen. So then they figured it out. And Eric Gordon, like you said, Eric Gordon got the ball. And then what does he do? He dribbles it off his shoe, Jason. And then
right. He
turns the ball over twice in the final minute. He melted down as well. You mentioned it. You know, the Rockets, they're living and dying by the three. What was different about the Rockets this year was they had so many guys that could hit the three that if one of them or two of them are cold, it won't matter. Somebody's going to hit. Everyone sort of gets cold and hot at once with these guys suddenly. So to me, it's very simple. The three ball's either raining early for them or it isn't. And if they're struggling from behind the arc again, that collar could start to tighten a little bit for the Rockets tonight.
It absolutely can. We talked about Eric Gordon. We talked about Lou Williams. And one guy we haven't mentioned that deserves a little bit of heat in this playoffs, Ryan Anderson. Where has he gone? He's heated back up here in a couple games in this series. But early on in the playoffs and during some of these Spurs games, he's been gun-shy on those three-pointers where you almost have to have no one in the stadium for him to be willing to take the shot. So you need him to get a little bit of that ice water in his veins, if you will. You need Eric Gordon and Lou Williams to step up. I'll tell you, down that stretch, Pat Beverly looked like the only guy, even though he's not – the three-point shooter that those other guys that they brought in are, he looked like the guy that had the most confidence that wanted that ball late in the game. And I agree with you. Instead of Harden dribbling around for 20 seconds and enforcing off a bad shot, I would have looked to get Beverly the ball because he seems like he wasn't bothered by the moment and the moment wasn't too big for him.
That's a great point. All right, so speaking of not bothered by the moment, Dallas Keuchel hasn't been bothered by any moments this year. Dude's gone at least seven innings in all of his starts. Astros are back on track after last year's stumble. Major League Baseball's only 23-win team. I tell you what, this is a fun series, man. The Yankees, real test here. Yankees are on fire. People didn't expect this from these young guys. Last year was Sanchez. Now it's Judge. So Keuchel's going to test himself against one of the best offenses in the Bronx. Four games set. And Derek Jeter gets honored on Sunday night in Monument Park. So the Astros are in the national spotlight all weekend long.
Yeah, this is a great matchup. I was sitting there last night following that Baltimore-Washington game just for the simple reason that if Washington was able to come back, and which they did, you know, down 6-2 to Baltimore, they scored five runs in the eighth and ninth inning to come from behind to win 7-6. And why that was important is with that Baltimore loss, that makes the Houston Astros the only 23-team win and the New York Yankees the only team, the team with the fewest losses with 10. And that makes them the two best records in baseball percentage-wise right now. So these are the two best teams in baseball facing off against each other in New York. And like I tweeted yesterday, this the Dallas Keuchel versus Aaron Judge matchup tonight is probably the most excited I've been for a May baseball game in decades. decades. And I think this is going to live up to the hype. Some Houston Astro fans down here, they're concerned because the Astros haven't played the toughest record so far. So they're paying a lot of attention to this series where you're going up against a true competitor in the Yankees, in their ballpark. And I think even if the Astros are able to split this series 2-2, Astros fans will take that as a big win.
Yeah, I think that should be the goal here. I think a 2-2 would be more than adequate to split the series. One thing, and you know, listen, and that's the beautiful thing about baseball, Jason. That's what winning teams do. That's what you have to do. It's sort of like football teams. You know, go 500 on the road, win your games at home. In baseball, beat the teams you're supposed to beat and go 500 against the elite, and you're going to end up with 9,500 wins. That's the way it works.
Hey, that's it. And like you mentioned, Keuchel is back to his Cy Young form. Down here, people have started calling him Cycle because of the Cy Young. Yeah, absolutely. And Lance McCullers, the young arm, he's coming up. But the concern from Astros fans and us in the media down here covering this team is at some point the pitcher rotation is going to catch up with this team. This isn't a dominant World Series pitching rotation. And when you start getting to Musgrove and Fires down the back end of that rotation, there's going to have to be a move. Either somebody's going to have to be a stud in minor league ball that's capable of stepping up in the pros immediately down the second half of the stretch, or more likely we see a trade before the trade deadline where the Astros pick up another arm.
Jason Braddock with us. All right, Jason, didn't think we were going to have you on the Fantasy Sports Network and not talk some football, right? So
right.
Yeah, let's talk some football. Houston Texans, first things first, congratulations to Deshaun Watson. Signs a deal with Beats by Dre. So nice to see he's making some money already. Yet interesting that the same day I see that the story that he sides with Beats by Dre, that John McClain of the Houston Chronicle reports Tom Savage is the guy, end of story type of deal. Now, listen, obviously Watson has to earn this. What do you make of this? Like, you know, it's not really a story, is it? I mean, we sort of know. Yeah, Savage is the guy coming in here. I guess they want Savage to do well. And then, you know, it's almost like the Prescott Romo story, isn't it? They don't want Savage to fail, right? They want him to do well, but at the same point in time, Watson's in the wings. But what do you make of this right now?
Yeah, the John McClain, because who he is, I mean, talking about four decades of covering Houston sports, he's an icon. When he says something, it's obviously going to get national attention. But I've been saying throughout this, and I'm still trying to – I did a show last night, and I'm still trying to convince the Houston Texans fan base that they're in love with Deshaun Watson, and I understand it. This team hadn't used a top 85 pick in the draft on a quarterback since David Carr, their first pick back in 2002. So there's been that hunger for a franchise quarterback. So I understand the hunger and the excitement for Deshaun Watson, but this is Tom Savage's shot. This is his opportunity. Last year in his rookie contract, he knows that offense better than anyone at NRG, with the exception of Bill O'Brien. He has grown year over year in training camp, and I even put out some projections last night, and I made a prop bet. I said anyone in Houston that wants to favorite this tweet, if he doesn't hit all three of these goals this year, I'll do a drawing for one of you to co-host my show with me. And that projection was 3,000 passing yards, 22 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions, and obviously a lot of people took me up on that because they just don't believe that he's going to stay healthy, and they don't believe that he's going to hold off Deshaun Watson, which I'm a huge advocate and belief of all of that.
So you believe, so with those numbers, you believe that Tom Savage, so you're saying Deshaun Watson won't play this year. You think Tom Savage holds him off and plays well enough and plays well for the Houston Texans?
Right. Well, injuries are part of the game.
Yeah.
And I don't like how Tom Savage has been labeled as injury prone. And I put out some tweets yesterday of how mistakenly we can label guys as injury prone because of some untimely injuries. And to get the Texans fan base attention, I mentioned, like, listen, Deshaun Watson was labeled as injury prone when he came in as a freshman. He had the broken collarbone. He had the torn ACL that he played against South Carolina with. He had the broken finger. He had the shoulder injury. I mean, he had numerous injuries. And the question then, I retweeted an article from his freshman years where everyone was saying, is Deshaun Watson injury prone? And now Tom Savage has been labeled as injury prone. And if you look at what's happened, those four injuries he's had, one was a concussion this year, which is a part of the game. His quarterback sneak took a shot to the side of the helmet. Another one was an elbow infection. That's nothing. I mean, are we really betting that another elbow infection happens? So throw out the concussion and the elbow infection. Now, you've got two injuries that he's had with the Houston Texans outside of that. One happened in the fourth preseason game when they had him playing behind guys that work at Piggly Wiggly and Winn-Dixie and HEB as baggers now because they shouldn't be protecting quarterbacks. It's the fourth preseason game, guys that you never heard of in there protecting them, and he's just getting beat up, and he had a shoulder injury that he would only been out 2 to 3 games, but they decided to IR him because they needed the roster spot. And then he had one other, I can't remember what the other injury was. So the injury prone label, I think that's, you know, hype that we use in the media. And I think this is the guy that can go out there and play 16 games.
You mentioned there's injuries and things can change in a hurry. In football, we had Randy Cross on last week. We're joking about that. Randy always uses the line, you're the guy till you're not the guy. And that's the way this it's the same as our business that you and I are in, Jason. But before we get you out of here, it's amazing how quickly things have changed in that the AFC South has generally been the laughingstock, you know, right, of the NFL. You know, that division sucks. And, oh, God, whoever wins that division, they're on TV. Houston wins the division again. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking at this division, and I'm seeing a lot of freaking talent and a lot of changes, man. The Colts, you know, Gregson's not there anymore. Ballard's in. Much more fundamental. You saw it with their draft. They went back to nuts and bolts, a very unlike a Colts draft. They didn't go for the shiny object. They went with football players are going to help them. The Titans went with shiny objects, but they got a lot of shiny objects. The Titans are going to have an explosive offense. I don't know if their defense is going to be much better. And now you got the Jags with Coughlin in there. I think Bortles going to be a better quarterback because Fournette's going to be carrying the ball 22 times a game. I tell you what, this AFC South no longer sucks. It's going to be a very fun division.
I completely agree with you. The Jaguars, I think they're probably still in the rear because they didn't address the quarterback other than Blake Bortles. I don't think he rights all his wrongs in year one. I understand what they're trying to do, going out there getting Leonard Fournette, but I don't think they have the offensive line to maximize his potential like Dallas has. So you can't just run the ball 25, 30 times a game and limit Bortles' mistakes because you don't have the offensive line for that. And that's not to take away anything from Fournette. I think the Colts are probably a year away because, like you said, Ballard had such a great draft and he's done wise moves in free agency, but it's going to take more than 1 year to fix all that Gregson did wrong there in Indy. So I think they're a little bit behind the Titans and the Texans. And I love what the Titans have done over the last couple of years. They're building up that defense. They're fixing some of those holes. Dick LeBeau can get these guys like Malik Hooker and Quincy Wilson, these guys to play at a high level, even as rookies. And you see that offense. If Mariota can stay healthy, now you have some receivers to go with the tight end and their running backs, and they've built up that offensive line. I think this is a race to see who gets the 10 wins between the Titans and the Texans.
You're right. The Texans, though, are at the top of this mountain. Everyone else is still still developing. It's going to be exciting, though. It's going to be a very interesting division this year. We got to get out of here. It's always a pleasure. I appreciate you taking some extended time with us. Big night in Houston tonight. Big show tonight for Jason Braddock. Follow him on Twitter. It's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for the time, Jason.
My pleasure. Take care, Gabe.
Jason Braddock with us on Game Time Decisions. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Great stuff with Jason Braddock, as always. We could talk football all day long with Braddock, but it really is amazing, isn't it? You look at that AFC South division, and it's been a freaking train wreck for the past couple of years. And I'm not stating that the Super Bowl winner is coming out of the AFC South just yet, but this is a division that's trending upwards. I remember years ago when Seattle just started to get good. Remember Seattle? They won their division, like, what a crappy record. The NFC West used to be brutal, right? Everything, you know, everything goes in cycles. But this AFC South, very, very competitive division right now. But I agree with Jason Braddock's analysis. The Houston Texans, they're still the most talented team. They're the most veteran team right now. They're the team to beat in this division. The Colts have a lot of talent. I'm not the biggest Chuck Pagano believer. But the Colts are going to be, you know, they're going to be back in the mix. They got to keep Andrew Luck upright. Tennessee, I'm going to be betting the over every damn week of the Tennessee Titan games. And Jacksonville, I think Jacksonville could be sneaky good this year. We'll come back with our plays of the day next.